This is Greg Kimble reporting for Media Main Australia. We're speaking with Steve Rackman, professional wrestling star from the glory days of professional wrestling, sometimes actor, and the Kimble operator. Welcome to the program. How's it going, Steve?
Yeah, that's going all right, yeah.
Good. What are you up to these days?
Yes, thank you, Greg. I'm running a health club at Coogee Beach called Beach Fitness. For the last 9 years, during a 9-year lease, I was focused on running the Oceanic Health Club at Coogee Beach at the premises of the Holiday Inn, or now called the Crown Plaza.
Know it well.
Yes.
And a bit of a difference from the glory days of professional wrestling, but I guess you've got the athletic tie-in.
That's true. You know, I'm permanently ensconced now in Sydney on the wrestling circuit. Of course, we were working 6 or 7 days a week in all parts of Australia, or Oceania, or Japan, or somewhere else.
Wow! And what's some of the highlights of your glorious wrestling career?
Oh, I think winning the British heavyweight title when I was 32, and then winning the Australian title when I was 35.
Wow, and I guess along the way you've had suffered a couple of months or bumps. What would you say some of the biggest misconceptions of the wrestling business are, and how many injuries have you sustained over the years?
Well, the biggest misconception is where people say, oh, no one ever gets hurt. I mean, it's a self-evident truth that the insurance for professional boxing and wrestling is the highest sports injury insurance of all.
Yes, and I think for reasons like that is why wrestling is struggling to actually be as successful or as widespread in Australia as it has been in the United States, just down to things like insurance alone.
Yeah, well, it's axiomatic that if the insurance is high, it's evaluated on the risk factor, on the injury factor.
So were you a bit of an insurance risk? Were you applying your class in the ring?
Well,
how easy or light did you take it on the opponents? Well, it depends on what was happening in the ring at that time as well. How did all that work?
I mean, that can also be dangerous, but some opponents you take on, it's a battle to the death almost. And you take your life into your own hands when you get into the ring with them.
Yes.
Some of them are monsters.
Yes.
And some of them, of course, have got a tremendous amateur background.
Yes.
As we all see now quite clearly that, the Ultimate Fighting Championships inside steel cages, they're held regularly. They're barred in Australia, but they are always without doubt won by grapplers.
Yes, I've noticed that. It's very well documented. On the same hand, not because someone can go extremely well in extreme fighting doesn't mean they necessarily will be a pro wrestling champion and vice versa, but some of the skills are certainly transferable.
Oh, definitely. Well, I've had, I've suffered dislocations and broken bones, broken nose 7 times.
Yeah.
I've got no teeth left. I've got a forehead full of scars that will be etched into the old forehead permanently.
I'm afraid to ask what you might have done to the other bloke. That's what you've got.
Well, when you look at the old wrestlers, most of them have got the cauliflower ears and the permanent scarring and pretty ugly mob, really.
Yeah, but I guess you were well prepared. I mean, between the amateur and the amateur boxing and wrestling background, plus the school of hard knocks and your size, I guess you were well versed for the wrestling ring.
Oh yeah, yes I did. I had a pretty good basic background, and in between wrestling, I used to work doors as well, and there was never a dull moment in that. Even just walking around the streets, you were always the subject of,
discussion, or you're getting noticed, or
blasphemy and
things, yeah.
Threats. And
did anyone ever try to go after you with a knife or a gun, or was that sort of stuff just small talk that was sort of trying to exaggeration, or what?
There were always threats by letter.
Really?
One guy you know, challenged me to a brawl anywhere in Melbourne. And I said, well, name the place. He said, oh, well, I just said Melbourne. I said, well, fuck it, Melbourne is a very big city. Where do you find it, you know?
Exactly. Now, promotion and showmanship to be part of the game. What's a couple of your catchphrases or like little promos that you've cut over the years that sort of got more people to attend the matches or to turn on the TV sets?
Oh, I don't know. I used to do a different interview most of the time.
Yeah.
You've got to really focus your interview on who you are actually competing against.
Yes. So if it was like a blood feud, like really, really vicious, I wanted to just say like, turn up or otherwise I'm going to go hunting you down, or did you say, look, I didn't teach you quite, I taught you everything you know, but not everything that you know?
That's right, I would say that to them, and I would advise them quite emphatically to bring as many friends as they had to the venue.
Yeah.
Next week, because you will need those to be given assistance out of the building.
Exactly. I guess that's also adding even further credibility and authentication to it. I mean, you're sort of drawing in real life day by day, bring your friends, rather than just, you know, some sort of wrestling over the top interview where it's obviously a bit too much of a come on.
Well, I can recall on one occasion when I was booked to wrestle a guy who called me an idiot on national television.
Oh, yeah.
And I said to him, fella, if you've got any friends left after calling me an idiot on national television, bring them along next week, because you're going to need every ounce of assistance to get you out of the building and into the hospital.
I like it. Basic stuff. And what words of advice would you have for people wanting to make a career in, let's say, either both the professional wrestling business or perhaps even the bodybuilding business as well? I guess it takes a lot of determination and guts. But in your own words, what sort of qualities do these sort of people need to actually make it?
Well, I think athleticism. Some of these guys are super gymnasts. I think the basic ingredient, they have to be a very, very solid grounding in amateur wrestling. You can see by the physique these days that, you know, strength plays a very important part of it. They are extremely powerful men.
Yes.
When you compare professional wrestlers today in terms of physical strength, there would be very few people stronger than them. Much stronger than your average footballer.
Yeah, and because they're using a lot of their muscles, not just upper body, but lower body and everything, and middle strength as well.
Oh yes, yeah. No, they've got to be focused. They've got to be fit. They've got to be prepared to travel a lot. They've got to be prepared to work the big crowds. I mean, they're drawing crowds of up to 100,000 people for WrestleManias in the United States.
Yes.
I think the record crowd is about 97,000.
Yes, huge.
And you wouldn't want to be faint of heart and a little bit nervous of stage fright.
No.
Because you're out there performing, in front of a crowd like that, it's not a team sport.
No,
you're very much on your own.
Yes, I think, do you think that might be what draws some people into it, because it is one-on-one, even though there's...
Oh yes, there's a lot of natural showmanship with them these days.
Mm.
They're telling a story.
Yes.
It's simple entertainment for simple people.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get a lot of brain surgeons paying big money to go to a wrestling contest.
No, but having said that, do you think these days the wider population may appreciate professional wrestling for what it is, and that is it's an art, it's an athleticism and art, it's a performance art, if you like.
Well, it is, it's an actual, it's an ongoing, serialised form of entertainment.
Yes.
You know, the storylines in there that never existed when we were wrestling.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would appall some of the old purists.
Mm.
Some of the old amateurs would be turning in their grave. But
yeah.
It's entertainment. It's advertised and promoted as entertainment.
Yes.
And if people don't like it, they turn off.
That's right.
But it's being watched by millions. It's the world's most watched show. It is the biggest money spinner in entertainment today.
Yes.
It's creating crowd records. You only got to look at what happened at Melbourne's Colonial Stadium.
Yes.
They embarrassed the AFL there.
Absolutely.
By taking 56,000 in with a couple of television promotions.
We were about to do it in a couple of months, and they sold out the first show in Sydney as well, which is happening at the Superdome.
Yes.
And so successful will it be to... they've got tickets on sale for a second show, which I understand the ticket sales are very strong as well.
Oh, well, it would always be strong.
Yeah.
Because it's action. It's telling a story. Good guy against a bad guy.
Yeah, it's a lot more than just your footy match. Not that we're teaching football, but it's just so much more than a footy match.
Well, I agree. Some football matches I've watched this year have bored me witless.
There's been some of the Super Bowls in the US, and they've just been like pain affairs. Like people feel terribly ripped off. They've paid a bit. $100 and have seen a crap football match.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least you haven't seen the full 3 hours entertainment when you see the professional wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but it's I still promote some Sydney club shows and some of the bigger clubs.
Where could we mainly see some of the shows which you're associated with?
Mount Bridger Community Club. We do about 10 a year up there.
Great.
During the school holidays. That's the only one that I'm doing at the moment because, having taken on this big project in Coogee Beach, 12,000 square feet of floor space requires a lot of attention, a lot of drive, and a lot of focus.
Certainly, I've been down there, and what a terrific facility it is. For people that don't know exactly where exactly can they find your gym down there at Coogee Beach?
It's opposite the famous Coogee Oval, where the Randwick Galloping Greens have played for, many, many years.
Yes.
It's 100 metres away from McDonald's on the corner of Alfreda Street and Arden Street, Coogee.
Yep, terrific. And you're working in with is it Paul and Caroline Graham as well?
Yeah, Paul and Carol Graham are my partners.
Yeah, and they've got quite an illustrious career in bodybuilding.
Yes, in bodybuilding. Yes, yes, I've worked with Paul with his bodybuilding shows for almost 30 years.
Well,
not just bodybuilding, but we've had gold medalists that we've presented to shopping centres in Sydney and Melbourne. Sumo wrestling, I put boxing into, exhibition boxing into shopping centres.
Yeah.
Strongman acts. And of course, the most popular thing of all in the shopping centres was the wrestling.
Yeah, as long as you get that crossover, the crowd that just likes action and a bit of Aussie biffo and entertainment.
They love it.
They do.
It was when we were doing it, we were fresh names off television from the now defunct Channel 9 show.
Yes.
And, I would imagine in those days, we were all household names, fellas like Mario Milano and George Barnes. To see those fellas in the shopping centre was great for the kids and great for the fans.
Yeah, certainly was. All right, well, we've covered a great deal today. So I look forward to catching up with you again shortly, and we'll continue to spread the good word about what's happening with professional wrestling, not only in overseas, but also in Australia, and what's happening on the gym and fitness side of things here in Sydney.
That'd be good, Greg, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.